Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic and TSN is going to kick off this hour. We always enjoy our conversations with him. Pierre, how you doing?
Well, as I like to say these days, as well as you can in this new world. Doing all right. Day 30, whatever, with the wife and kids in isolation and not complaining one bit. It's we got the easy part compared to other people in society.
Yeah, that's well said. You decided to put out and get the fans involved and just talk about how they feel about whether the league should resume play or not. We've admitted already in the first hour of the show, we were a little surprised at the numbers. You've got a lot of people participating. We thought it would be a little bit more lopsided, but were you surprised by the results to this point?
So I was surprised the other way. And part of that is that I pay attention to my mentions on Twitter and to the reader comments on The Athletic website. And for the past few weeks, as I've been updating people on what the league is thinking and the NHL Players Association about different scenarios, about potentially, resuming the season this summer, there was a lot of pushback from readers and from people following me on Twitter about, how can you guys even, how can the league even think about playing hockey when all this is happening? And listen, often the angrier people might be louder. So I decided to do a poll, and it was just over 24 hours on Wednesday. I asked a very simple question: are you in favor of the season resuming this summer, likely without fans in the arenas? Yes or no? And the yes was 59%, and the no was 41%. And frankly, I thought it'd be closer to 50-50. 62,000 people responded, by the way, I should note. So it's not just a drop in the bucket. 62,000 is 62,000 people in both the U.S. and Canada, in a lot of different markets, I could tell. Now, the survey in itself is skewered because, of course, people who follow me on Twitter or read me in The Athletic are obviously sports fans and most of them hockey fans. So it's not like I've asked society at large. I've asked hockey fans, right? But, 4 out of 10 are against it, and there are all kinds of different reasons. I mean, some because they're just worried about, sports playing a part in extending or aggravating the pandemic. Other ones because they feel that if there's a four-month break, how can you, it's a sham to resume again? It's an asterisk season, et cetera, et cetera. There were all kinds of reasons. But at the end of the day, out of 62,000 respondents, it was still a 59% yes vote as far as most hockey fans wanting the game to come back, the healing aspect of that, just sheer out missing it, and wanting the fact that 85% of the regular season has been played, wanting to have a champion, right, to end that. So interesting back and forth between the yes and no crowd, and I think a lot of good arguments made.
Yeah, see, that's kind of what I was thinking. That's why I thought it would be a lot higher, because it's just because of who you're talking about. People that are interested in your poll, people that read your stuff on The Athletic, I just, we would just assume diehard hockey fans, and of course the numbers are good. It's just like we've put out the same thing here. We're on the, this is the Predators flagship station on radio, so you would expect the numbers to be skewed toward, of course, we talk to a lot of diehard hockey and Predators fans every day, so you would expect the numbers to be skewed one way. That's why I said I was a little surprised that 41% came in with no.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
A lot of them, when I looked at their Twitter answers, not just the vote, but a lot of people took the time to, to tweet back, and some of them were in my article today in The Athletic. A lot of them say they're diehard hockey fans, but they're concerned about what's going on right now with the pandemic, or they're concerned that 4 months off will mean bad hockey, or they're concerned about the players' safety in terms of getting injured after jumping into a a playoff after not playing for 4 months. There are a lot of interesting reasons why the no crowd didn't feel right about it. And I don't know that there's an easy answer. I mean, you know, it was pointed out by one responder that, hey, you know, in 2012-2013, the Blackhawks won the Cup after a 48-game season, a shortened season due to that lockout, to the NHL lockout. And no one looks back and thinks that the Blackhawks have an asterisk on that title. And that's right. I don't think none of us do. But again, I would suggest the difference is the 48 games were played continuously once it finally started and went right into a playoff. There was no interruption, right?
Yeah.
From that perspective. So, we all have self-interest in what we do for a living to have hockey back. But I will admit myself to having some pause as far as, you know, what it would look like with no fans in the stands. I mean, one former player reached out to me and said, imagine when they award the Cup, the fans are still not back in the arena. You know, they award the Cup, let's say, on August 30th. Nashville Predators win the Stanley Cup. Roman Josi grabs the puck, and the arena is empty. I mean, grabs the cup over his shoulders, raises it. He's happy. The Predators players are delirious in happiness. You guys are happy, but there's no one in the stands. I mean, what the former player was saying is, like, what will that feel like? Interesting.
And what about the parade that we've always talked about, guys? There would be no parade. That would be weird, right?
No parade.
No. So
yeah, it may not be parades for a long time.
No, you're right about that. We had Shea Weber on the show yesterday. We had a really good conversation with him yesterday, Pierre. How do you think? You brought up some really good points that obviously some of your readers have brought up and you've made as well. Like, the longer this goes on, the longer they just sit. We had Julie Turris on this week, Kyle Turris's wife, and, you know, players are scattered all over the place. You talked about the Ekholms are over in Sweden, and, you know, the Predators have a lot of players from Europe. So does every team in the league. So how do you monitor that? How do you do that when they've been away for months and they're in maybe countries like Sweden that have more laxed rules on the pandemic?
Yeah.
So where do you stand on all that?
Yeah. I was just going to say, you brought up a very interesting situation with Sweden. Of course, a lot of Swedish NHL players, a lot of them went home. And because of the lax position that the Swedish government took, and they're able to skate. I think some of those Swedish players are probably skating, whereas the rest of the NHL isn't. I mean, that was a big concern that both Justin Williams of the Carolina Hurricanes and Taylor Hall of the New Jersey Devils brought up with me this week, that you're working out at home in self-isolation. Nothing can replace a skating stride. There's nothing like a skating stride. You have to be on the ice to skate. And so, yeah, everyone's staying in shape and doing what they can to stay in shape. But to be off the ice now for 5 weeks, and it's going to be more than 5 weeks a lot of these players based in North America, at least, are off the ice, that you're going to need time to ramp it up again if we receive, you know, like, and you're going to need time on the ice. And when the NHL put out their original plan to players and teams back on March 13th in a memo, it was based in three phases. Phase one was self-quarantine until further notice, and which we're still in. We're still in phase one. And that phase one was the self-quarantine was extended through April 30th recently by the NHL. Phase two, whenever that is freeing up the process so that players can start showing up to team facilities and skating in small groups. That's going to be huge for players. Like, they cannot wait for that phase to open up. And by the way, I don't know if it'll open up everywhere at the same time. I mean, that'll be the other interesting thing. So, you know, the burning desire and necessity for NHL players to be able to skate again is huge as this goes on, which is why if the league does have a season in July and August, you know, you need some form of training camp. You need some form of exhibition games, I think. And possibly some regular season games before you jump into a playoff. And you guys know, Predators are always in the playoffs. The level of intensity and physicality in the first round of the playoffs is, I don't even know how to describe it compared to other sports. It's like a different sport explodes in April every year. You can't just drop the players in that after 4 months off. They need to be able to ramp up skating-wise and physically before then. And finally, I'm sorry I'm rambling so long here, but the players coming back from Europe have to be quarantined for a couple of weeks before they can integrate themselves with the rest of their team. So that's another layer, time-wise, to all of this logistical planning that you have to take into account.
We're talking to Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic. Great poll. 62,000 responses on people's feelings about playing the Stanley Cup playoffs in front of no fans. So, Pierre, you had some great feedback. You've hit on a lot of things, and I want to ask you one or two more specific about it, but I don't know if there's any way for you to track it, but did you get any kind of sense of the Canadian opinion as opposed to the U.S. opinion when you did your poll? What's the breakdown there?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're getting to, obviously, is hockey is Canada's favorite sport and pastime. It's a religion up here. But I didn't sense that Canadians were pushing more for the return than any of the U.S. hockey fans. I think the U.S. hockey fans are absolute diehard and love their teams. Where I think I saw any kind of trend, and again, I guess it's anecdotal, but where I think I saw a trend was more along the lines of fans of teams who have no chance of making the playoffs compared to fans whose teams have a shot to win. And you can see why. I think that fans on the lower ceiling teams, on the teams that are out of it, don't really understand the upside of their teams coming back to play maybe 6 or 8 games and then calling it quits again, right? In terms of a very short season resumption.
With that in mind, do you think that would be the sentiment of a lot of those teams themselves, the personnel, not only the players, but the front office, the scouts, saying, you know what, this is probably better, let's just sit this one out, where maybe that directs the league more towards just the teams, maybe just 16 teams. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think the league internally is grappling with, right? I have to hide the identity of this team, but I did talk to a non-playoff team who said, I'm not bringing back my number one goalie or my number one defenseman for 6 games after 4 months off. I'm just going to tell those guys to stay home. I don't want to risk injury. For that team, it's all about getting ready for next year. So that was an interesting response. And I don't know really if you could pull that off anyway, whatever the rules are. But on the other hand, Ottawa Senators GM Pierre Dorion, his team is, 29th or 30th. He's been pretty expressive publicly about wanting to come back and play and being part of things. And I think from his perspective, it's whatever amount of games Ottawa can still play, it's another chance to evaluate all the young guys they have. They're rebuilding, right? They're a very, very young team. They got 2 picks coming up in the draft lottery. So for him, every game they can still squeeze in is valuable evaluation. So it depends. I guess it depends on the vantage point of which team you're talking about. If it was down to me, I think what I would do is I'd probably take the top 22 or 24 teams, have some form of regular season resumption among those teams. And so you'd basically have to recreate a schedule for 2 or 3 weeks for that. That would do a couple things. It would only involve the teams that still have a shot. It would allow players after a mini camp and perhaps an exhibition game or two to get more games in before the playoffs, so to ramp up their stamina. And it would democratically decide the field of 16, right? Everyone will have hopefully played the same number of games by the end of this process, and then you decide who makes the playoffs. And that also allows the draft lottery, which is always very contentious, to be decided naturally too, the teams that don't make it. That's, I think, what I would do. I think the plan right now, last I checked, is still to involve all 31 teams if there's time in a season resumption.
Talking to Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic and TSN, and one thing that we've discussed on the show with all these scenarios, what happens if it's a player that nobody really knows, and I think it has a different effect than, let's say, Connor McDavid goes, you know what, I'm not doing this. I just, there's too much risk involved. I don't want to go play in one of these, scenarios that's been thrown out. I'm out. I'm going to sit this one out. What happens then?
Uh-huh. I mean, I think that's going to be something to monitor for all sports, right? Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I think that's what I'm finding interesting is, I guess the PGA's first on the clock, right? I mean, sounds like they intend to play without fans in June is what they announced. And let's see how that plays out. Let's see if everyone returns. And, of course, the PGA Tour is different because they're essentially individual contractors who can decide which week they're playing or not, right? Right. But still, I think you'll see some trends there. You know, you're bang on. I mean, so far, Drew Doughty has really been the only high-profile NHL player to come out and say, you know, I don't know about all this. And I don't know that it was really the fact that he thought it was dumb. I think he just was looking at the world around him and saying, are we really going to play this summer? And it, you know, you guys have been around Drew Doughty. He's pretty unfiltered. And was just giving his opinion. Most other players have been pretty standard in saying that they'd like to play again if it's safe. That's been the standard answer that we've heard. But there's a lot to digest here, and I can tell you from talking to someone at the NHLPA yesterday, I mean, the Players Association, yes, there's a huge financial component to all this, but the number one priority from their perspective is making sure that if there is a season resumption, that it is safe on all kinds of levels for the players. Safe in terms of where they are physically, but safe too between them and their families in terms of where we are with this pandemic and what steps are being taken to, you know, make sure that it's a safe environment, right? So the PA is all over that, and that'll play a big part in what happens here, no question. I think what really, going back to the non-playoff teams, I think there's probably a better chance of a high-profile player on a non-playoff team saying, you know, my team is 28th. Why? I'm not doing this, you know?
Yeah, and obviously that's going to have a different response too. But if it's a player that's on a playoff team, that I could see that being something that is discussed. David Poile did a Zoom press conference yesterday with the media, and one thing that was brought up with him was the salary cap and how the salary cap could be affected by all of this. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, and I'm sure David, like all his other GM colleagues, I know from talking to other GMs, this is a huge part of when they think hockey as opposed to what's going on in real life. And it's gigantic, and it affects the players and the owners alike. I think there's no other way to look at this but to think that this is going to have a profound economic impact on the NHL business, regardless of what happens from here on in. There's a lot of money lost. And the reality is, if the NHL and the NHLPA were going by the current rules in the CBA to decide the salary cap for next year, the cap would go down big time. But they're not going to do that. Bill Daly of the NHL and Don Ophir, the head of the NHLPA, have both been on my podcast over the past month and both said that they're obviously the two sides are going to just have to have a side agreement, go outside the system and decide what the best cap number is for everyone involved. So that's important to point out. I mean, they're just basically going to have to pick a number that makes sense, right? Because you can't have a cap that goes down $10 million because some teams won't be able to put more than 16 players on the ice. Or in a starting lineup, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, the revenues are going to get clobbered over the next year or two. And so you're going to end up probably with a salary cap that is higher than what the actual business model suggests it should be. So this is a lot to grasp, right? It's a lot to sort of get your head around. And I want to bore our listeners to death, but the number one issue for players is escrow. In other words, you know, they're already having gotten paid this year more than their 50% share of the pie. The fact that the league continued to, the teams continued to pay the players after the season was stopped 2.5 more paychecks when the revenue stopped for teams, the math isn't going to compute, right? The system is set up where it's 50-50 every year, that the players and the owners share 50-50 in the revenues. Well, it's not going to be 50-50. So the players are going to owe money. So with that in mind, you know, what is a salary cap number that makes sense that you know, everyone can live with? And I think what you'll probably see happen, although no one has confirmed this or even intimated that anything's decided yet, because this is a little further down the road, I think they'll just freeze a salary cap probably at around where it is now for the next couple of years at 81.5 or around there.
I feel like I'm back at Disney last summer with my 8-year-old on those interactive rides. I get dizzy just thinking about all these things. Fascinating stuff. That's what they're talking about. And gosh, I don't know how they're going to come up with solutions to everything you just laid out there. That was a lot to chew on and all 100% true. Really good stuff, Pierre. Thanks for joining us. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Sounds great, guys. I always enjoy coming on. Nashville is one of my favorite spots in the league, and I know that I'll be overjoyed the next time I'm there because it'll mean that we'll be back in some form of normalcy. So all the best to everyone.
As will we. Thank you, Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic. Go check out his article, polling the fans. Over 62,000 people weighed in, 59% said yes. There is a lot to chew on from that interview, and we will come back and discuss some of it. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.